Jordan!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
We're back on the Oval at the Brickyard. Is that kind of like being back home in Indiana? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. Presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
You know, guys, I offered to do a chorus of Back Home in Indiana, but Harold threatened to cut my mic.
No. Hard pass.
Fair.
Fair. That's right. You guys have heard me sing, in other words. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Not many people can sing that song. Definitely not you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your vote of confidence. Hey, glad to have you guys here. We got a lot to unpack this week. Let's talk about it. First, Jordan, back on the oval at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The drivers seem to be pretty happy about this, universally happy about it. Do you agree with this?
It's time. I mean, I was all in favor of trying the road course and seeing if it worked. It felt like racing and IMS was just on the oval had gone stagnant, and it was no longer what it once was. It didn't feel special anymore. Try to do something different to juice the action, maybe bring back that energy and love for that race that had dissipated. But we can all agree, I think the road course didn't do that as intended. And now 3 years later, we're back, or 4 years later, we're back on the oval. I think it's the right move. And I feel like the excitement and the energy that we've come in longing for the Brickyard 400 has certainly returned. So that's a positive.
Pete, how about you?
Couldn't be happier that we're doing this. And I agree everything that Jordan said. I get why they did it. The guys, to me, racing on the road course there is like putting a mustache on the Mona Lisa when you go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I understand why they did it. Somewhat of an entertaining race, kind of turned into a debacle there in the last couple of years. But going back on the oval, the prestige of the Brickyard 400, the 30th anniversary, all of those things, and not, you know, the least of which with this next gen car, this Gen 7 car, a lot of people feel this will be a good race on that racetrack when we get down there this weekend. So I'm really happy. This is one I had circled on my calendar all season long.
I agree with Pete. To me, and I've said it for the last number of years, Jordan, you don't go race at Indianapolis to not race on the oval. That's the historical part. That's where you go. You don't go race at Daytona to race on the road course. You go to race the oval. And I think that's the prestige of this place.
It is. And I mean, you can try to spin in and say, well, listen, just being at, you know, IMS matters. But the reality is what matters at IMS is the oval and not the road course. And we have seen what the alternative is. And I was in favor of the move. I get it why they tried it. But it didn't work. And I'll admit I was wrong. And I'm glad they're going back. And it means something to win there on the oval. The road course, it's another road course, right? It doesn't have the same prestige. And I think what NASCAR lost in all this too was a major. Was, you know, it was always about Daytona 500, Coke 600, Southern 500, the Brickyard 400. Well, when you take the Brickyard 400 away, you're down to three majors. And it's, you can't replicate that. You can't plug and play something else into that spot and say, oh, this is now a major. That tradition is gone. And now that it's, you know, you're going back on the 30-year anniversary too, it just resonates a lot more than it ever has.
All right, Pete, you both have mentioned 30th anniversary. You know, when you get these moments that you mark in time and say 30th anniversary, and we all remember the first one, we all realize how old we're getting, right?
Yes, sadly, yeah. You're right about that.
Truth.
And, you know, and I remember back, you know, and I was working locally here in Chicago in 1992, they decided they were going to have this tire test there. And I got called to go down there to cover a tire test where I think there were 12 teams down there and 50,000 people were inside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway just to see stock cars on that track. And then 2 years later, the first Brickyard 400 happened. And back then it was on a Saturday, so it had a whole different feel to it. But, you know, you go back to 30 years and certainly, you know, we'll go through the timeline of it and some of the prestige sort of eroded away, the attendance and all those kinds of things. But I'll still go back to being on that racetrack. I've been able to cover some Indy 500s, having NASCAR on that track, I think, this coming weekend. That's what this is about. And Jordan's spot on. A crown jewel was gone. It's back this weekend on Sunday.
You know, people forget that, you know, the kissing of the bricks was a NASCAR tradition.
Yes, it was.
NASCAR, yeah. Dale Jarrett, those guys started this thing. And now the Indy guys do it too.
It is. And that's cool. I mean, you talk about all the history of IMS, and it's nice that NASCAR can have that kind of moment that's become a signature there, which is not something that they can do easily. And to have Dale Jarrett be the first guy to kiss the bricks, and now it's an iconic thing where every Indy 500, what do? They bring the winner out to the bricks, and they have that famous photo. So cool to see it happen. And then you got the fence climbing and everything else and Tony climbing. You've had a lot of moments happen at IMS that we probably don't give it credit for. It's really easy to pick it apart about what it's not anymore or what it hasn't been for a long time. But let's not forget what it was and what, how it still matters today.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we talk about moments for speedways that stick with tracks. You know, we think about the traffic at Kentucky the first time around and how that affected the track, Pete, and they never recovered from that. And Texas had that the first year they had it. It took them a long time to bounce back from that. And the Goodyear tire debacle they had at Indianapolis, where they're coming into pit every, you know, 11 laps or whatever it was. And they never really recovered from that. And I know you mentioned the new car, and even coming off of Pocono last week, a lot of the guys feel like this car is more adaptable to this track than the previous cars have been.
Yeah, it feels that way. And, you know, all of that prestige and all of that conversation that we're going to have all weekend about being back on the oval and all of that, and that's all great, and I'm on board with that. But at the end of the day, they're going to throw the green flag, and it's going to be about when the green flag flies and the checker flag flies and what happens in between. And listen, you're never gonna mistake the racing at Indianapolis Motor Speedway for Martinsville or a short track or anything like that. It's got its own nuances to it and all. But I think you're right about that, Brett. And unfortunately, you know, it's the old saying, you only get one chance to make a good first impression. And I think a lot of people are still turned off by what happened with that tire debacle there. That's in the past. I hope people get over that. But I think at the end of the day, I just think it's going to be, I hope it's going to be a good race to go along with all the prestige that we're going to have there in the pomp and circumstance before we get things going on Sunday afternoon.
Being that it's the 30th anniversary, Jordan, and being that it's a return to the oval, is that going to give this race enough juice?
It should. I talked to Roger Penske last week for a story that's going to run on The Athletic this week, and he told me ticket sales for this race are higher than they were in 18 and 19, which is encouraging to me. I mean, listen, you're not going to go back to the days of 350,000 people attending this race, but that's not NASCAR in this climate. That's not a lot of sports in this climate today. So I think there's an energy and a buzz because they're going back to the oval. Obviously, the quality of racing we've seen on these kind of tracks now is much better than it was with the old car. And I think, you know, Pete hit on it. It's like, this car offers an opportunity to give you better racing. And if you have better racing, people are going to come regardless. And I think that's the key thing there is give them a quality product and then get the people out there.
It was interesting this week, Pete. I know you had Rudy Fugle on your show this week on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, the crew chief for William Byron, the number 24, talking about remembering Jeff Gordon driving that 24 to victory lane the first time. Of course, an Indiana kid. William Byron's not an Indiana kid, but the pressure that he feels going back there on the 30th anniversary on the oval with that number 24.
Yeah, he owned it. You know, he said it's a good kind of pressure because of that number and what it means there. So looking to go back there. But what's interesting, Rudy said also, you know, obviously all those years when we got off that oval track and went to road course racing, but all those years prior, you know, he was truck racing. So there's a lot of drivers, a lot of crew chiefs that have never been at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the oval. So you're going to have sort of that component as well. But certainly there's going to be a lot of sentimentality this weekend and obviously leading the way there, the 24 car with William Byron and all that, the Brickyard 400 meant to Jeff Gordon over his career.
Yeah, you got, what, three former winners in the field this week who have won on the oval.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Kyle Busch,
yep.
And Brad Keselowski.
Yep. Not many.
Not many.
I mean, when Harvick retired, a lot of those went away.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
But I think that's good. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it. It's fresh for everybody. And I think that's another big part of it. And everyone that we've spoken with has said the same thing that Rudy said, though, not so much the car number, but the reverence that they have for that racetrack. And, you know, and again, I get it. You know, I was there for we covered a Grand Am race back not that long ago, and they're kissing the bricks. It just didn't feel right. This is going to feel right on Sunday when the winner of the Brickyard 400 kisses those bricks.
And what stands out to me, it really feels like the teams are putting an added importance on this race. Like, you talk to people in the garage, it's like Denny Hamlin is missing this race from his resume. He's won a lot of majors. He's won every one but this race. He wants to check that box. Kyle Larson would love to win here. It feels like the big teams are going to show up this weekend and bring their A games. And really, this is going to be a showdown in a lot of respects. And I think we're going to get a good indication of where everybody stands, kind of setting up for the playoffs. I'm excited because we tend to lose sight of the fact that this race, this track, has always been where the best teams and drivers show out. and you need a good pit crew because you've got a lot of green flag pit stops. You need strategy, so you need a great crew chief. You have to be a great driver to navigate this track because it's really challenging, very temperamental. You need all of these different things, horsepower, aero. And so you don't see fluke teams and drivers here. Typically, guys who win this race go on to contend and win the championship. And I think Sunday is going to be a precursor to that.
It's going to be interesting. And you think about in the past, we've seen the people who run well at Pocono tend to run well at Indianapolis. And the guy that just won at Pocono, oh, by the way, he drives for the guy that owns the Speedway.
Yes,
we'll talk about that when we come back. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Save money today on your next full synthetic oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $10 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Our professional parts people can recommend the oil change supplies you need at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or at O'ReillyAuto.com. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Osvar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit goprn.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Jordan, you know, Roger Penske has not had tons of success in the NASCAR version of the Brickyard races. Now, we know how well he's done in the Indy 500, but the Brickyard 400, he has not had a lot of success. We talked about the win that Keselowski has, but Ryan Blaney's coming in here pretty hot. He's got 2 wins. He's had some really good runs that haven't paid off in wins in between those 2 wins. Could this be a win for Mr. Penske at his home track? Not only his home track, the one he owns.
I mean, you would think just by looking at how Blaney has ran recently, 2 wins, but it could have been E3 easily, you know, to drop a fuel at Gateway and he's in victory lane there. So 3 of the last 5 races could have been his to win. He looks really good right now. He looks like the driver who won the championship last year. And I think it speaks overall to what Ford has done. Ford has made huge strides. That's not too long ago. We were wondering if Ford was going to run a race. Like, what's going on with this new car? Why aren't they faster? Is Gibbs and Hendrick going to win every single week? And now Ford, in addition to what Penske's done, because, you know, Logano's won a race, Cindric's won a race, RFK's running well. Ford looks like they've come to play. And if Pocono is an indication of who's going to be strong at Indianapolis, then Blaney is certainly on that short list of contenders.
Why does Pocono become, Pete, a good precursor to what we'll see at Indianapolis?
Well, based on what drivers and crew chiefs have told us on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Brett, is that the layouts are somewhat the same. Obviously, the 3 corners of Pocono, not the same, but the way the track is, the banking, the long straightaways and those kinds of things. And remember, before we went to the road course, it seemed like the schedule was always we went to Pocono for the second race there when we were going there two times and then to the Brickyard 400. So it does seem like that's a good way to get yourself prepared. And again, when you talk about Ryan Blaney and what they did last week, I mean, he led 44 laps. I mean, there's no reason to think that he's not going to be at the front of the field. And it is an amazing turnaround to Jordan's point because, man, the first 3 months of the year, that's all we talked about. What's wrong with Ford? When are they ever going to win a race? And now it's like they're not going to say unstoppable, but they have totally had the pendulum swing to their way. And I would not be surprised to see more Fords at the front of the field on Sunday, led by certainly Ryan Blaney. Joey Logano certainly, I think, is going to be in that mix. And I wouldn't rule out the RFK guys. I think Brad Keselowski, a former winner of this race, and Chris Buescher, I think those Fords are going to be guys you're going to have to deal with on Sunday. And if you would have asked me that back in maybe February or March, I would have said, no, no way. But that's where we are right now in the middle of the summer.
You know, Denny Hamlin has had some struggles lately. I mean, he was in position to win the Nashville race before he ran out of fuel, what, in the fourth overtime, whatever that was. In overtime number 74.
Yeah, I felt like it.
But, you know, he had a fast car at Pocono, and, of course, he always has a fast car at Pocono. I would think he's got to be one of the guys that you've got to be thinking about at the Brickyard this week, Jordan.
He is so good at Pocono. I mean, really, he's been good everywhere. And they, while the finishes haven't been there as of late, a lot of it's circumstantial. The speed has been there. They were fast at New Hampshire before the rain. Then the rain came, and it was a struggle. They were fast at Chicago, but then Denny struggled in the rain. They were fast at Pocono. Probably would have won that race if he maybe got clean, you know, gotten by Bowman a couple laps sooner. And they got a better restart. It's just a lot of different things have kind of worked against him. They are going to be good. He is really, really good in Indianapolis. I know he doesn't have a win, but you go back to 2020, the last time they ran here, he and Harvick went toe-to-toe that day. We talked about the two best drivers on, you know, in a year usually come here and they kind of have like a showdown. That's what happened in 2020. I would expect Denny Hamlin is going to be very much in the mix on Sunday. And again, goes back to the fact that he has never won this race before. He's won the Coke 600. He's won Daytona three times. He's won the Southern 500. What is the one major that's missing from his resume? It's this one. And there was also a little bit of doubt of, am I going to get an opportunity to go back to Indianapolis and win on the oval again? And he didn't know. Now he gets that opportunity. Wouldn't be surprised to see him capitalize on that.
You seeing the same thing, Pete?
I do. The only fly in the ointment there, though, you know, obviously the last few finishes to Denny's point or to Jordan's point, there's been some circumstances there out of his control. But that engine that went south on him early at Sonoma, you had Ty Gibbs have an engine go south on him in Pocono. I don't know if there's any concern there, but there's a little bit of something that I'm sort of thinking about with JGR and Toyota engines right now, if that's an issue. Other than that, there's no reason why Denny Hamlin's not going to be near the front of the field. I mean, his second place finish on Sunday, one spot short of getting another win there at Pocono, where he's so good, I think shows you that that team usually week in and week out is in the conversation. And you know he is motivated to try to put a Brickyard 400 win on his resume. So again, maybe the engine thing is a little interesting just to kind of keep our eyes on. No doubt the 11 car is going to be near the front of the field on Sunday.
How much confidence is Ryan Blaney driving with right now? Jordan?
A lot. I mean, the championship did wonders for him. It really kind of added to, like, you know, instead of Blaney being this guy of, is he ever going to put it together? Is he ever going to be a guy who wins more than one or two races a year? When's he going to become that elite driver that we all thought he was going to be? The championship, not just winning the championship, but how he won the championship, the march to the championship, the composure, the maturity that he showed in utilizing everything to, you know, the skills that we've kind of thought he had, but he really hadn't put together. And then this year as well, like when things go wrong now, he's just a different driver. There isn't the anger and the frustration that comes over the radio and maybe it impacts the decision-making. There isn't the mistakes in the racetrack where sometimes in key moments, Blaney would make a mistake. He's just a really different driver now. He's very self-assured, very confident. And I think, you know, I can't speak to his mindset, but I think having that championship and saying, listen, I know I can do this now. I've got the proof. I think that has to be something for him.
Well, and that pays off. You know, I guess having that championship does mean a lot. And I think he's got a platform now. He's got some, it gives you that gravitas, right, Pete?
Yeah. Well, he's got that Jedi master feel, right? That's what Ryan Blaney has right now. But think about it, guys. Remember last year, he won the Coke 600 and we didn't hear from him for the rest of the regular season. Yeah. He got when it matters the most, and that's right now in the playoffs, kind of feels the same way. Had a lot of trouble early in the year. We talked about earlier, what's wrong with Ford? What's wrong with Blaney? What's wrong with Penske? Now, all of a sudden, again, he could have easily won Gateway had they had that strategy figured out with the fuel. And it feels like back to where we were last year. The confidence is certainly there. Jonathan Hassler, I think, is right kind of in the team photo right now of a good crew chief that can kind of play those strategy games, sort of in the Paul Wolf kind of category there, his teammate there with Joey Logano. All those things are hitting on all cylinders right now. And I think Blaney's going to have a really good end of this playoff, or end of this regular season, I should say, through the summer and going into the playoffs this year.
Well, you know, he would love to pick up a win at Indianapolis on the Oval. And that's our O'Reilly Pit Reporter question this week. What track should NASCAR be running at Indianapolis, do you think? Should they be running the Oval, the road course, or should they run twice there, one time on each? Last week, we asked you how many drivers are going to make the playoffs on points. And this is interesting. We have a tie. Actually, we have two ties. 42% said two will make it on points. 42% also said three or four will make it on points. And then we have 8% said none, and 8% said one. So, interesting. So we're expecting at least a couple new winners before we get to race number 26. When we come back, these guys talked about it. Ford appears to have caught up. Do we have total balance in the field now? Stay with us.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Pete, at Pocono, in the top nine, at the end of the race, there were three cars from each manufacturer. So can we safely say now that the field is pretty balanced going forward?
It depends on who you're speaking of. I think in the manufacturer discussion, yes. But from the teams inside those manufacturers, maybe not so much. I mean, on the Toyota side, Joe Gibbs Racing certainly there. On the Ford side, we're talking about Team Penske a lot. And certainly on the Chevrolet side, Hendrick Motorsports is up there as well. You know, obviously the other side of things with Richard Childress Racing and some of the other Chevy teams, they're not doing great. We're not seeing a lot. I mean, 2311 was interesting, guys, because they had two top 10 finishes there with Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace, who came back from the rear of the field. But either of those guys, I kind of felt were going to be a little bit more player on Sunday. They weren't. Reddick was good. Bubba did a good job coming from the back. And again, on the Ford side, yeah, you know, Team Penske won. I mean, RFK is still obviously trying to get a little bit better, not seeing a ton out of Stewart Haas Racing. So from the manufacturer side, Brett, I would agree with you, but when you kind of drill down inside each manufacturer, there's still a little bit of a line of demarcation, I think, inside each one of those.
What are you seeing, Jordan?
I see a lot of parity right now, and it feels like a lot of it depends on which track you're going to. If you were going to a flat mile track, I really feel like Penske right now is the team that everyone is looking up to. And earlier this year, it felt like Gibbs was going to win a lot of races, and now I don't want to say they've come back to the pack a little bit, but Martin Truex Jr. is not to the level that he once was. Christopher Bell is still good, though they seem a little snake bit at times. Ty Gibbs is up and down still, and you know Denny Hamlin is, we talked about, he's good, but he's also had his issues as well. This was his first top 10 finish at Pocono in the last what, 4 or 5 races. So you know, right now, and then you look at the Hendrick side of things. I mean, William Byron isn't to the level that he was at the beginning of the year. He won 3 times, and it looked like he wasn't going to lose a race at a point. And he's been up and down. You know, Alex Bowman's coming on strong. Larson didn't lead a lap again on Sunday, which is the 4th straight race they haven't led a lap. And so you just look at the Hendrick cars right now, and they're like, they're good, but they're not exceptional. It really kind of feels like it's a week-to-week thing where you don't know who's going to be great, and it just kind of varies on so many different circumstances.
Talking about what Jordan just talked about, and could you make the argument that since Penske and since Hendrick now have all their cars in the playoffs, that despite the fact that, you know, you have playoff points on the line each race, that they might be doing a little experimenting and that maybe is taking them off of their groove?
A little bit. I don't think that we've, you know, that far-fetched, because we've seen that before. But you're still trying to lock in guys. Again, we keep talking about on the JGR side, guys, about Ty Gibbs, right? It's the whole, it's not if, it's when he's going to win. They want to get him to victory lane. Jordan's point about Martin Truex Jr., you know, again, he's there with the point side of things. You want to get him to victory lane. You know, on the Hendrick side, I'm not that concerned. I mean, you talk about Kyle Larson, and you know, the numbers are what they are. But, you know, the incident that he had at Chicago early on, we didn't see that coming. He was one of those guys, he and Chase Elliott got caught for speeding at Pocono. So there's sort of these circumstances around those two that I'm not really that concerned about, you know, but at the end of it all, I think when you go a little forward here, yeah, you are trying to figure out some of these tracks that might have some of the similarities that they're going to have in those final 10 to win a championship. Why not try to learn some things while you're trying to put as many points on the board as you can?
Jordan?
He's right in the sense that it's really hard to get panicky and say that teams are going to do this because they're locked in the playoffs. To me, if I'm looking at the playoff schedule and saying, well, here's the favorite, I like Penske just for the fact, not because they have all three of their drivers already in the playoffs, just because of how the schedule sets up, especially in that final round when you go to Martinsville and Phoenix. Well, like we said, where have the Penske cars been exceptional this year? Flat, you know, half mile to mile tracks. Well, that sets up really well. So if a Logano or a Blaney can get that far in the playoffs, yeah, I think they've got a really good shot because they've won the championship the last 2 years using this formula of really kind of tiptoeing their way through the playoffs, getting to that final round, getting a win, and punching their ticket forward. It's worked really well for them, and I don't see that recipe changing.
Well, the thing is, and the dangerous thing is, not chasing playoff points. I mean, right now, you got Christopher Bell's got 24, Kyle Larson's got 23, and Hamlin's got 20. But you look at Chase Elliott, Pete, he's leading the points, but he's only got 6 playoff points. You know, Martin Truex Jr.'s got 3, and he's sitting there in 6th place. I mean, these guys could have significant advantage once the playoffs start, which we've seen will get you into the 2nd round, maybe the 3rd round, but there's not a lot of margin for error once you get there.
No, it's that insurance policy, right, that Kyle Busch talked about a few years ago. Those points are so important. Hell, we saw it last year with Martin Truex Jr., guys. Let's remember, he won the regular season championship. Without doing that, he wouldn't have gotten as far as he did in the playoffs. So really important, trying to find that balance between the two. Really, really an interesting mix here. And again, I think Jordan's right. When you look at the way, and I know we have some different tracks in the playoffs this year, but when you look at the way that those tracks lay out right now, and we're a long way from playoff racing, it does shape up the way they lay out for Team Penske based on what they're doing now to be really good, like they have the last 2 years with Logano and Blaney catching fire when it matters the most. And that's down the stretch there in that 3rd round.
Jordan?
I agree. Like, it's about the playoffs. It's about getting the playoffs with as many bonus points in your back pocket as possible, because it's a heck of a safety net. It's helped Chase Elliott win a championship. It's helped Martin Truex get through multiple rounds of the playoffs, especially last year. We have seen it year after year. What you do during the regular season matters. And the belief that, you know, the regular season doesn't matter is untrue, because it does help you along the way. And I think what you can do now, and that's why we saw teams, you know, really aggressively go after wins, especially last week for Ryan Blaney, for example, goes after that win and flips the stages and everything and the strategy, because they want the win and what goes along with it. And so what you do now matters in the regular season, in the postseason, and I think it's going to bear itself out again.
It's been interesting, because I've heard you guys talk about it, Pete, on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. It seems like the guys who chase stage wins can't get race wins, and vice versa.
It's like that, the game, right, Brad? I mean, which way are you going to go? Like, when you look at it, right, if you've got the win already, not that you're not wanting another win, but then you have to kind of look at the bigger picture. So there is that balance there. And I think it's a conundrum for crew chiefs when you get into these situations there of what to do, you know, when you come down the stretcher and try to figure that out. So that's the beauty of this. And again, like Jordan said, people who say, the regular season doesn't matter, I totally disagree with that. I think it matters a lot. And, you know, when you look at where we are beyond the guys that right now are in the playoffs, you know, trying to race your way in, trying to get it on points right now. I know Ross Chastain is just above the bubble and Bubba Wallace is right below them. I think everybody else has to win a race. And, you know, back to Indianapolis, last year Michael McDowell won this race when we were on the road course. That variable isn't there right now, I don't think, anymore, for that to happen until you get to Daytona, which is at the last race of the regular season this year. I think that's the only outlier that you have here. So everything else down the stretch here, when we get back for the Olympic break, is getting those wins, adding them up. But Brett, to your point, putting those points on the board if you're a driver that's already locked into the playoffs.
Well, and you only got 20 points separating first from fourth. And remember, first place pays 15 bonus points.
The fight for the regular season championship is the closest I remember in this format. And we've had it in years past where like one or two guys are going kind of at it. I don't remember the depth, though, where you've got 5-6 guys who realistically have a chance at this thing. That's crazy to me. And it really does put an importance on what you do week to week. You can't throw away races anymore. And I don't want to be a crew. I would hate to be a crew chief nowadays, because the how do you weigh, I'm going for the win versus I need the playoff points, I need stage points, I need this X, Y, Z. There's so many factors nowadays, and it's so hard to pass. And track position means everything. I would be sitting on top of that box, freaking out of my mind, going, how do I manage this thing? Because you have all these things different. Anyway, and I think the best crew chiefs, though, have mastered it. And it's why you see like a Chris Gabehart and Denny Hamlin year after year have success. It's why Cliff Daniels is as good as he is. And I think we're seeing that with Hassler now a little bit too. Really effectively manage these races. And he did it at Pocono and how we manage the stages. And he's a crew chief who's really starting to come into his own a little bit. And it would have been really easy after Gateway for him to really have doubts and second guess himself. Not the case at all. Goes back, builds fast race cars, puts his driver in position to win at Iowa. They did it. Puts his driver in a position on strategy to win at Pocono. And you heard it in Ryan Blaney's voice as soon as he crossed the checkered flag. He thanked Hassler and said, great job on the strategy, way to manage this race. That is a trust between driver and crew chief, and that manifests itself on the racetrack.
Well, there's going to be another big challenge coming for these crew chiefs right after the Olympic break. So they can forget relaxing over the 2 weeks, because now they're going to figure out how to work with two different tire compounds. We'll talk about that when we come back.
O'Reilly. Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines for the fourth annual Women with Drive, driven by Mobile One Summit, taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana, December 9th through the 11th to kick off PRI Show Week. As a property of Women in Motorsports North America, this conference brings together both women and men to discuss the current issues and needs to advance opportunities for a more diverse and inclusive environment to help grow the motorsports industry. Head to womenwithdrivesummit.com to learn more and register now.
We are Lions International, the world's largest service organization. We are volunteers committed to strengthening our communities and supporting those in need, one act of kindness at a time. For more than a century, Lions have been serving a world in need, right here in our community and around the world. Lions International makes the impossible possible. This is your invitation to join us, because the only thing missing from our mission to make a difference is you. Visit lionsclubs.org to find a local Lions Club near you.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, save money in your next oil change with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get a $10 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for just $35.95. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts and change your oil and get a $10 gift card after rebate. Welcome back, along with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, coming back from the Olympic break, we're going to have Richmond, and we're going to have two different sets of tires. Jordan and NASCAR's announced this. There's going to be two sets of the option tires, which will be the tires that will wear out quicker. They will have two sets of those for the race. You've got to use a prime set. They'll have six prime sets. One of those will have to be used for qualifying. But then beyond that, the only requirement is all four tires have to be the same kind. But you can use the option tires at any point during the race. You don't have to use them during the race. It's going to be, they tried this at North Wilkesboro in the All-Star race. I don't know that they really got a good read on this, but I, you know what? Why not give it a shot?
I like it. I'm in favor of figuring out ways to make the competition better. And let's just be honest, the racing at Richmond has not been great the last few years. It needs a little bit of enhancement, if you will. And this is another tool in the crew chief's toolbox to use that. I think if there's fall off, and that's going to be the key thing, is with the soft compound, is there enough fall off and differential between what the prime tire is and the softer compound tires? It sounds like the softer tires can go about 15 laps before they fall off. If that's the case, that really is going to really make it challenging for the crew chiefs on when you employ these. Do you keep one in your arsenal until the last, 50 laps of the race? Or do you try to manage it for maybe an end of a stage? How do you do this? Because you got to remember, too, Richmond has a lot of green flag runs traditionally. And so if that's the case, you really can't go to a softer compound, because the disadvantage is going to be significant after about 15, 20 laps or so.
Pete, how do you feel about it?
Well, I like the idea, and I like the fact that NASCAR is trying things. And I think NASCAR said, 2-3 months ago, no more tinkering with the car. They're not going to do anything more to it in terms of changing the underbelly and the diffusers and all those kinds of things, the sprakes on the front of the race cars. They're going to look at the tires. And certainly we've seen a couple of times this year where the tires have made the racing that much better. I'm glad they're trying this. There might be three options, by the way. Let's hope not, because of the wet weather tire there as well.
Yeah,
let's
it's true.
That doesn't happen, right? But Jordan's right. And here's the bottom line. Richmond has this current Richmond has these long green flag runs. And so if you're going to have these long green flag runs, why would you put those softer tires? They're going to burn up as quickly as they do. Now, maybe down the stretch, if there's an overtime or something like that, that's where they'll come into play. But I mean, the bottom line is good for NASCAR, good for Goodyear for trying these kinds of things. Whether or not it works or not, we're going to have to see. We talk about Richmond a lot. Bring out the bear grease. Why are we all saying that? They're not doing it. They put the sealer on it like they used to. That seems to be the answer. But right now they're going to do what they're going to do with the tire. And it's going to be interesting to make those decisions here when we get there. And again, I don't see anybody really doing it. That's, we did it in the All-Star race a few years ago. Nothing happened there because everybody did the same thing. Got a little bit of a read at North Wilkesboro, sort of the same idea. So unless teams can really be opposites of one another and we see the difference between the two, if the circumstances kind of lay out that way, that to me is going to be the bottom line of whether or not this works at Richmond when we come back from that Olympic break.
Yeah, I think, Jordan, what we're going to see is if we have a caution come out with like 15 to go,
oh yeah,
I think you're going to see leaders dive onto pit road and put these softer tires on and go.
If they have one sitting in the box, and that's going to be really interesting because you get these two sets. So if you don't have one sitting in your stall and someone else does, well, then guess what? They now have the advantage. You know, if you're a crew chief and you say, okay, we're going to take the chance that this, you know, we're going to get an overtime or we're going to get a caution with 15, 20 to go, and then we're going to have that tire, the soft tire to go to, that's great if you get that caution. But if you don't, you're leaving Richmond with a set of soft tires in your back pocket they didn't use, and then you might be, you know, on the other end of that as well. So it's going to be interesting. I like it just because I don't think you can do anything at Richmond that's going to make the product worse. And I don't mean to be disparaging in that way. It's just not been great racing there. That's just the reality of the situation. This is a worthy experiment. It didn't work at North Wilkesboro. There wasn't enough fall off. You know, there was a new track surface, not enough fall off. NASCAR also mandated kind of when teams used it. You know, you start the race on this, and then you go to this. Forget that. They're letting the crew chiefs dictate when you do this. Hell, there might be a team that says, we're going to start the race on these things. We qualified poorly. We start in the back. We're going to put these tires on at the beginning and try to get our track position back, and then we'll figure it out from there. I just think it's fascinating, and it adds another wrinkle on the strategy front that is sorely missing.
That's exactly what I was just thinking, is yeah. If you qualify poorly, it gives you a chance, Pete, to flip your track position.
Well, that's the thing. And with this race car, I mean, I think there's a lot of benefits to this car. But one of the things we hear time and again is when you get to the track, you're basically married to your setup, right? And crew chiefs don't have as many things in that toolbox that they can use to try to get better. This is one more option to do that. So, yeah, if you do qualify poorly and you were all talking about track position, maybe you do roll the dice, especially some of these other teams we just talked about in the earlier segment that need to win a race to make the playoffs. There's something that you have at your disposal to try to maybe make up some of that track position. So, again, I like the idea. Anything you can put more in these crew chiefs' hands and have them sort of figure things out and play a little strategy, which I think has kind of gone away in this era we're in right now, I'm all for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, to Jordan's point, Richmond has been one of those tracks where hasn't been the best racing. I think this will give it an option to be a little bit better, at least on the strategy side. And hopefully when we come back for the break, people are going to want NASCAR after being gone for 2 weeks. We know that. Hopefully that'll be a good race to come back on that Sunday night.
I just like that they're putting it out there with basically a full field. I mean, that's one of the things where I've liked that they've, with the All-Star race, where they've tried things with the All-Star race. And because you can go out and you can test all you want with four or five cars, but you're not going to get an accurate read on things with only four or five cars out there. Go out there, test it with a full field. It's not a playoff race. Yeah, a playoff spot potentially is on the line. But I like that they're going to go out there and try this thing. They've tried it in the All-Star race. It wasn't a disaster. It didn't hurt things. So why not give it a shot? Hey, the double file restart came out of the All-Star race.
Sure. Overtimes, too. I mean, there's a lot of things that have come from the All-Star race that have been implemented in points racing that have made the product better. We'll see. This is going to be interesting to see where this goes, because if this goes well, we talk about the playoff schedule. While we have two tracks in the playoffs, Martinsville and Phoenix, where this tire could be employed if it goes well. I don't know if NASCAR wants to go down that road for the playoffs, but if Richmond is a success and they're happy with this, I wouldn't put it past them, because like Pete talked about, you need to make the short track racing product better. And if this tire is the answer to that, well, then so be it, because that's what you needed at Martinsville to make it better than what we've seen the last few years, then it has to happen. Same with Phoenix, even if it's a championship.
Or, Pete, like you said, throw the rain tires in there. Or, sorry, with the wet weather tires in there. We have three choices.
Why not? I mean, poor Goodyear. How many tires do they have to bring when we have this? but, you know, again, if it works, I don't care if it's the playoffs. You know, yeah. What Jordan just said, make it, just bring it in. If it works, it gives another option. It's the same for everybody. You can use them. You cannot use them. So if it works, why not bring it into the playoffs? I'm on board with that.
All right, after Indianapolis, we got a 2-week break. Who really needs a reset? Stay with us.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Pete Pistone from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio is here. Also Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. And Pete, we got a two-week break for the Olympics. Who really needs this 2 weeks to do a reset?
Kyle Busch would be the top of the list.
The obvious answer.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it's funny because obviously Kyle is in one of those years right now where things just don't go right for him. You know, it's funny. He ran a super late model race up at Oxford Plains over the 4th of July weekend, and he was running fourth. And even that day in that race car, things went bad for him. So just one of those years for Kyle Busch. I think he for sure will take these 2 weeks. I think Richard Childress Racing will take these 2 weeks. And hopefully reset. I mean, he's at a point where he's going to have to win to make the playoffs. We know what's on the line, that streak of him winning a cup race, and every year he's been in the Cup Series, that's on the line as well. So I think we all agree, Kyle Busch and Richard Childress Racing and that A-team, they need to take 2 weeks away and come back there for the stretch after the Olympic break to try to race their way into the playoffs.
Come back in, give each other a big hug, and say, all right.
We're back at it. We missed you guys. Let's do this. Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, Kyle's only path to the playoffs is to win. So that when he comes back, that's the focus, right? My pick would be Ross Chastain, just because Ross is in a position that I don't think he thought he was going to be in. Like, you look at his season, had a lot of speed this year, but they just have not had the finishes correspondent. Nashville, running second, gets wrecked. Running second at Texas earlier this year, gets wrecked. Having a decent day at Pocono, strategy goes their way. They're going to have a good run there. Ends up in the wall. All of a sudden, you look at it and they're like, "Whoa, they're right in that cut line." This team is too good. That driver's too good to be in that position. They already have Daniel Suarez in the playoffs, so they don't have to worry about we prioritizing one guy over the other. Right now, the focus should be on Chastain, getting him in the playoffs securely. He's got the speed. They just haven't had the results to show for it. You've got to figure out how to get that last little bit to get over the hump a little bit. And if somebody pops up and wins a race, whether it's a Bubba Wallace or Kyle Busch or whomever, Chastain could be out.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, he's 27 points to the good right now. Chris Busch is 44 points to the good, and Ty Gibbs 67 points to the good. Pete, you talked about it earlier. You both talked about it. Yeah, somebody else pops up and wins one of these races. One of these guys, like, say, a Bubba Wallace – you know, a Chase Briscoe, you know, a Todd Gilliland who's been running well, Josh Berry, one of these guys pops up and wins the race all of a sudden, and that line moves.
Yeah. I mean, like when Cindric wound up winning at Gateway after what happened to Ryan Blaney, it's kind of the same idea. I still think there's really one chance left for that variable, and that's Daytona, not the regular season finale, for that to happen. I think it can happen there. But, I mean, you know, it's funny because, you know, Jordan brought up Chastain. It feels like Chastain and Kyle Busch have a little bit of a commonality in. They're obviously having bad luck, but Ross has been showing up and qualifying in the middle of the pack, and the speed isn't there. And we all know when you're in the middle of the pack, you can be back there and things can go wrong, and you're kind of making everything twice as hard to get to the front. So I think in his case, finding some speed there on Saturdays, you know, interesting on Saturday this week at Indianapolis, they've got the extra 50 minutes of practice because we've not had this car on that racetrack. Those are the kinds of things that I think can help those kinds of teams, so they're not so much in the hole when you start the race and get a little closer to the front. But, you know, again, somebody rises up here in these last handful of races, and then we're talking about something completely different. And I do think Bubba Wallace is on that short list of being able to do that here down the stretch.
Can you sit in the middle of a watermelon field and just kind of meditate?
I have no idea. I know you can meditate with a watermelon margarita, so that's going to help.
that would work. Yeah. Bubba Wallace is another guy. I mean, now he's at the other side of the cut line, 27 points on the negative side of the cut line. Below him, you've got Chase Briscoe's minus 75. I think Chase is definitely in the must-win situation. Bubba just seems like a guy right now that's not driving with any confidence. You get that feeling, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, they have been off. And I know they did a really impressive job at Pocono, you know, starting off. They didn't qualify well. They had a really bad first stage, and then they rebounded and left there with the 10th place finish, which I thought was huge just mentally. This team needs a reset as well. They haven't had speed. They haven't got a lot of stage points this year. They haven't looked, especially compared to Tyler Reddick. You compare the two teammates, Tyler's up there running in the top 10 on a regular basis. Could have won, you know, two or three races over the last five, six races, and is much more consistent and is doing a much better job. And frankly, almost, you know, leading the regular season standings. Bubba's in a spot now where he's almost in a must win, but not quite. And the results aren't there. He hasn't won a points race in over a year. Like, there's questions about this. Like, the longer you go kind of just being okay while your teammate is excelling, that's only going to amplify the pressure on you right now, and that's not a good situation for this team.
How do you feel about Bubba right now, Pete? Do you feel like he's lacking on some confidence?
I do, but, you know, it's funny. We had Booty Barker on the morning drive this week, and he said he felt like they feel they can still point their way in. They took a big chunk out of the points this past week at Pocono with the run they had, so he's not giving up that side of it. But I do think that it's different. You know, there were opportunities, and that's the other thing. You know, Bubba, as we know, wears his heart on his sleeve. There were opportunities earlier this year. We kept talking about the mile and a half program, how good 2311 was there, and those intermediate tracks that they kind of left slip through their fingers. And so he's tried to play a little catch up. I think the run this past week, starting 29th and getting into the top 10, not a win, I think that helped that confidence, but I think he needs a little bit more. And again, I still think, you know, to Booty's point, I'm not so sure they can point their way in. I think they got to find victory lane here in order to get that 23 card into the playoffs.
This is going to be an interesting week because I think, going into a two-week break, you always like to hear guys talk about having momentum. And in other sports, and we've all covered other sports, you hear guys talk about going into a bye week, wanting to have that feel-good going into a bye week. And I think this is going to be the same type of thing for these drivers. Going into a two-week break, if you can get that positive boost going forward, that's a lot better position to be in than going into a two-week break, shaking your head going, what in the world is going on with us, and how are we going to reset before this is all said and done. When we come back, White Flag Laps. Stay with us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store. Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. It's time now for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's Pete Pistone.
Well, when the 2024 Cup Series schedule came out, there were two dates that I circled. One was NASCAR Cup racing going to Iowa Speedway on Father's Day, Sunday. I bet that turned out to be a really good weekend there in Newton, Iowa. And the second was the return of the Brickyard 400. This, to me, is a crown jewel race. And it's not just Sunday. It's everything around the weekend. We're going to have the Truck Series back at IRP, like we did back in the old days. We're going to have short track racing. We have the ASA late models out at Anderson Speedway on Saturday night. Indianapolis considers themselves to be the racing capital of the world, of the country. I feel that way, that NASCAR should be there on the oval track, and I cannot wait to get down there. And I know I'll be at St. Elmo at least one time over the last 3 days I'm down there, boys.
Is that because you need your sinuses cleaned out?
Absolutely. Got to get that horseradish right up the sinuses. You're right, bro.
The shrimp cocktail. Yeah. Oh, that'll clean them out. Next up from The Athletic, Jordan Bianchi.
Well, before I get to my point, Pete, I will see you at St. Elmo's. I will be there Saturday night. Come find me. I'll buy you a glass of vino. I agree with Pete's sentiment. Like, I was one of those people that said, let's get off the oval. Indianapolis is not what it once was. Let's try something different. I was wrong. They've going back the oval. It feels big again. It feels special again. Kudos to NASCAR. Kudos to IMS. Kudos to Roger Penske. This feels like a special year. And this is magnified by the fact we don't know what to expect. It's been a few years since we've been off. We've got a brand new car. We've got parity that we discussed throughout the field, like we've seen in recent years. This feels like this unpredictable Brickyard 400 that we've all longed for is now becoming reality. I can't wait for Sunday. I think it's going to be a fascinating 400 miles.
Well, I agree with you, both of you guys. And as I talked about during the program, my sentiment for years has been you don't go to Indianapolis and not run the oval. That's the big time. That's where the Indy 500 runs. That's where the big time runs. You don't go run the road course and just the road course. Good. We're back on the oval. That's where we should be. We should be kissing the bricks after that. Was it big for Michael McDowell to win on the road course? Yeah, it was for him. And he did go out and kiss the bricks, but it's not the same as winning on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway 2.5 mile oval. And I'm like these guys. I'm excited to see what happens because everybody has talked about this car is going to be a lot more interesting on this track. It's built more for this track, and I'm excited about it. I'm also excited about NASCAR trying the two different types of tires at Richmond. I like that NASCAR isn't sitting still and letting things play out, just saying, well, let's see if it gets better over time. NASCAR is being proactive, trying to make the racing better, and I think that's a great thing. All right, Pete, who are you going to go with at Indianapolis this week before you after you leave St. Elmo's?
Well, there's that. I'll be kissing. They'll kiss the bricks. I'll kiss the trim cocktail on Saturday night. You know, again, it's like every week, right? Do you want Larson? Do you want Hamlin? Do you want Hamlin? You want Larson? I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney. I think that it's going to be a great story. I think everything we talked about on the show about Team Penske and Ford being good there, why not having Ryan Blaney bring the captain to victory lane there on Sunday afternoon at the Brickyard 400? That's my pick.
10 seconds.
Tyler Reddick.
Tyler Reddick. All right. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.